Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And we are again back with you. Praise the Lord. Brother Harold Copeland and myself, Carnita Smith, we are so excited to be with you again and you with us as we move through scriptures, as we do, concerning the ingredients of agape love. Now, we are on the second part of this wonderful teaching lesson that Brother Harold Copeland and I are just exposing the Word of God, the beauty and the love of God's Word. Agape love, simply defined as unconditional love, the main character of God. Through intimacy with God, we experience His agape love. The first and great commandment is love. Jesus said to him, according to Matthew 22, in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, Minister Harold and I, we're going to expose these ingredients of agape love, and we're going to bring you through some scriptures, the beautiful love letters of the Bible, and so that we can all work together and love together in Jesus' beautiful name. So, if you would, Brother Harold, just pick up where we left off on this wonderful teaching series, The Ingredients of Agape Love, and I'm just excited on what the Lord is going to expose to us today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, we are in studio again, and we will be teaching from the studio today. And like always, I'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. We want you to know that we love you. But after this teaching, you're going to find out God loves you too. And we'd like you to know that it's always an honor. We look forward to this honor and privilege to fellowship with you concerning the things of our Lord and our God. As was said, we are going to continue the series, Ingredients of the Agape Love, which is, like was also said, the unconditional love of God. And another way it can be phrased is the God kind of love. And truly, the love of God. We're going to dive right on into the teaching, and we shall start out by reading our lunch pad scripture, which come out of John, verse 16.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We appreciate you. And we just want to break that down a little bit, that lunch pad scripture. For God. For meaning because God. And we're talking about the God of all creation. We're talking about the same God that walked with Moses, known in the Old Testament as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But he also the God of Minister Kenita Smith and the God of Brother Copeland. And he's your God also. And we learned from the last teaching that he is love. So we're going to say, because love so love, amen, because love so love, the world, now the world is a kingdom that is opposed to God's kingdom, God's greatest enemy. So love so love his enemy, love so love his enemy that he gave. Love gave to his enemies. Right there we see that we need some work with love. We need some work with love, because if God told us to go get some to our enemy, it'll be kind of hard. We'll have to say it. We'll be rebuking the devil. That can't be God. But God was modeling out love to us. I like God. You know, I taught in the school system, and the best way to teach is to model what you want the students to learn. And right here, God is modeling what the agape does, modeling, showing us how different the agape love is from our humanistic love. For God so loved his enemies that he gave his enemies the best that he had. When we see the begotten son, we see that God gave his enemies the best that he had. Whosoever, that's anybody, you and I, whosoever in that world system will believe on this gift, will believe on this gift, will not be destroyed with the world kingdom, but will live with love forever, have a forever position in love. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now we want to look at the ingredients of love from another point of view, which is a very familiar passage of scripture, beautiful scripture, once we begin to walk in it. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22.
Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Praise God. Praise God. And we look at the fruit of the Spirit, and we see that the S on Spirit is capital. So this passage is referring to the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God. Amen. And we show through Scripture that God doesn't have love, but God just can love, but God is love. So we can also say the fruit of love, the fruit of God, the fruit of love, the fruit of the fruit of the agape love. And what fruit means is some tangible evidence. So fruit means the tangible evidence that love is present. the tangible evidence that love is present, and we can break love down to ingredients. So it's the ingredients that the agape love is present. Now we want to look at the word fruit. It doesn't have an S on it. So there's only one fruit, and that fruit of the Spirit is love. But in order to manifest this agape love, we got to have all the rest of the ingredients with it to make it pure, holy, righteous agape love of God. If we leave out one, then we'll operate in a watered-down, humanistic type of love. And that love is not unconditional. And that love doesn't last forever. And notice, in the agape love, there's joy. Hallelujah. And the Word of God describes it as joy unspeakable. Speakable. You just can't even open your mouth and put words to it. We may find ourselves in our worst situation ever. And people know that we're in that situation. But we still have joy. Because this joy is supernatural. Kingdom joy that comes by the Spirit of God. And people would ask us, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. Why do you still have all that joy? You know, it's unspeakable. And all we can do is just point to our heart, knowing that it's the Christ in me. That is my hope of glory. And then in that fruit of love, there's peace. And the Word of God calls it a peace that passes understanding. So that means it goes beyond the human understanding. Even if you got a doctor's degree from Harvard, Princeton, or Yale, the agape, the peace that is in the agape supersedes all that information that they taught you over the years. And since it goes past our understanding and the human mind can't grasp it, that let us know it's spiritual again. It's supernatural. And it comes by the Spirit of God. And Jesus himself even talked about this peace. He said, peace I give you. I like that. Glory to God. As the world give you. Amen. See, we get peace from the world. That means everything got to be lined up. Every I got to be dotted. Every T got to be crossed. Everything got to be going right. That's the world peace. It don't last because once the perfection fails, the peace leaves with the failure of the perfection. But Jesus said, the peace I give you, not as the peace the world give you. He said, let not your heart be troubled. That means that we must be in a troubled situation, but we're being anchored by the supernatural peace of God. He says, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation, regardless of the mountain, regardless of the valley, with this peace, you can let not. You got the power to let not your heart be troubled, and neither be afraid. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now he's bragging on his God when he say, neither be afraid. He's bragging on our God. But he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and of a sound mind. And then we look in that love, we got to have some long suffering. And that's something we don't like. We'll take the joy, we'll take the peace, for that long suffering. You know, we go read in the book of Job. That long suffering is like the patience Job showed in the presence of his tribulation. It takes the patience of Job to be long suffering. And then we talked about Hosea marrying a prostitute, and she going out and coming back pregnant, and going out and coming back pregnant, and then he had to go back and sell everything he had to get her. That's a patience, long suffering. Glory to God. But the reason God demonstrated that, he shows how long-suffering he is with us. Oh, yes, he is. With Hosea and Gomer, Hosea was God and Gomer was God's people. And we constantly go out and worship false gods. And God constantly leave the 99 and come back and get us. So it's some long-suffering. And then it's gentle. Gentle. I'm not present, omniscient, or potent. I'm omnipotent. He can stand alone. But he don't operate in pride. He's a gentle, loving God. And we liken that until the parable of the Good Samaritan, paraphrasing, that man got beat up, left for dead, a Jewish man. One of his Jewish priests came by and walked right past him. Then one of his Jewish Levites came by and walked right past him. But his enemy, the Samaritan, stopped and gave him all the assistance he needed. Gentle, which is kindness. And then we look at faith. You know, God was telling how awesome he is. And he said, I call those things to be not as though they were. And we are just like him. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is. And he will reward, hallelujah, of them that seek him. And we get rewarded today because we're seeking God through the Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. And God guarantees us that when we seek, we shall find. When we knock, the door shall be opened. And when we ask, it shall be given to us. Another ingredient is he's good. And the way we sum that up, you want to figure out who's doing things. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. That's the bottom line. Because God don't have any more bad. God put all his bad on his son so he can put all his good on you and I. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. The psalmist tell us God is good. His mercies are everlasting. And his truth endureth through all generations. And there's a song out there today that I like. And it just basically confirms the good, good Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And then we look at meekness. Amen. Lowly, humble, with all his awesome characteristics, with all love's awesome attributes. He humbled to be with a people like us. And he uses a people like us that he can be glorified through us. Humble, and temperance, that's self-control. He has given us power of self-control. And it's not just any power. Supernatural power, the living God. Jesus said, when Holy Spirit come upon you, you shall be endowed with power. An endowment is not a small amount or little trickle. An endowment is an overflow of that power. And nothing will be able to indulge us, overindulge us. And that's what a lack of self-control is. There's something that overindulging us and taking us away from God. But God wants us to demonstrate that self-control power. Hallelujah. To let the enemy know that the power that's in me is greater than the power that is in you. The attribute. Now we want to go back to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we just want to read the first three verses.
1 Corinthians 13, tongues of men and of angels, but have not loved. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing.
Amen. The evidence that we're operating out of God's kingdom, whatever we do, it will be done through the power of the agape love of God. Now, in verse 1, he said, speak with tongues. You know, that comes from the Holy Spirit, and we're not gonna go into denominational disagreement. Have they stopped? Or are they still in effect? No. We're just gonna go by what the Word said. He says, "Speak with tongues, don't have love." And then he said, "Tongues of men." That means I can speak all the language of the earth, all the language of the nation. Amen. And I was gifted by Holy Spirit to do it. And then they say the tongues of angels. They said I can speak with angelic tongues. But he said, if you have not love, and this is what I want to focus on. He said, you become a sound. I was a musician ever since the fifth grade. As a young musician, if you're playing a brass instrument, you don't start out on a professional instrument. You start out on a cheap student model instrument. And when you play that thing, it sounds cheap. And while that student is learning how to get to the professional level, nobody in that house will get any sleep. That sound is not pleasing. So he said, if you have all these gifts given by the Holy Ghost, but don't have love, the sound you're making is not pleasing. And then he said a tinkling cymbal. And you know, cymbals are when the passage in the music is rising and increasing, and it's going to a climax, and it's time for the cymbal to bring forth a grandioso sound, and the conductor looks over and he points to the cymbal player for the grandioso sound, and he get a ding. It's disappointing. Kills the atmosphere. So what he's saying is, even if the Holy Spirit gave you the gift of tongues, even if the Holy Spirit gave us the gift, the tongues of men, the tongues of angels, even if the Holy Spirit gave us all of these, and we do not have love, the agape, he said, we just making a bunch of noise. That's what he's saying. We just making a bunch of noise. And you know, I'm going to throw this in there. I've been in services where people operated in these gifts, but they didn't have love nowhere in them. And the Spirit told me, they just making a bunch of noise. Amen. Because they ain't pleasing the Father. And if we want to please the Father, we got to operate in the Spirit that our Father operates in, which is the Spirit of love. And verse 2, go to more powerful gift, the gift of prophecy. Understanding all mysteries, that's the gift of wisdom. Understanding all knowledge, that's the gift of knowledge. And have all faith, that's the gift of faith. Walking in the office of faith, and all that comes from the Holy Spirit. But it said, if you operate in those gifts and love is not perfect, he said, we are nothing. That's what he said. He said, we're nothing. And I read a translation that said, we're nothing, nothing. Nothing, nothing. He said, we're devil nothing. Amen. Because love is not present. And verse 3, and though I bestowed my goods to feed the poor. Now, that's a prophet spirit there. Yeah. Oh, what'd you do? I went out there and feed the poor, you know. And oh, you're awesome. And I gave my body to be burned in that house to save that cat, you know. Glory to God. But he said, if love is not there, he said, you will get no profit out of it. He said, we will get no profit out of it. No profit. What he's saying is, to be seen by others, that's probably the only profit we get. A pat on the back from others, that's the only profit we'll get. Because we're not going to get any profit from the kingdom. And one of the scriptures, God said, you already have your rewards when they patted you on the back. When you did it in their presence, you already have your reward. You don't get a kingdom reward. Love. You know, Launchpad scripture say, God, so love. You know, that so love, that little word, so is so, it's big. You know, when a child is trying to explain something, and, you know, a little boy go fishing, and he catch a big fish, he come home to mama and say, mama, it was so big. It was so big. And that was God was saying about this love. It's so big love. What he's saying is, it's greater than what you're used to. It's greater than what you see. It even greater than what you carry. Unless you be still and let me love on you. Because I want to love on you. If only you want me to. The love of God. Glory to God. So when we read the love chapter, it's telling us that the love of God is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. If we're going to be used by our God, if we're going to operate in the kingdom of our God, if we're going to be used in his kingdom, we have to operate from the position of the agape. The agape has to be the very essence of who we are. Just like our Father God, the very essence of who he is the agape. And when he created us in his likeness, in his image. And if we're daddy children, sons of the living God, daughters of the living God, whatever we do, we have to operate in the agape. And Paul showed it. He said the Holy Spirit gave many kingdom gifts. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit placed these gifts into our spirit. The angelic tongues. The tongues of man. The tongues of angels. Kingdom understanding. The word of wisdom. The word of knowledge. Giving everything to the poor. Sacrificing the body to be burned. He said, all is not, all is none involved if our deeds are not done through the agape, through the love of God, through the unconditional love of God. Yes, yes, through the God kind of love. And being in the world, but not of the world. And the world does not rotate in love. The world rotates in lust. And we can forget what real love is. And we can stop operating in the God kind of love. And our talents, our gifts, and our abilities, they amount to nothing. If we don't love each other with the God kind of love, we have nothing. God kind of love is, this is a beautiful word here, beautiful word. The God kind of love is selfless. I didn't say selfish, selfless. Meaning, it denies self. You remember Jesus said in the scripture, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. That's what it means, be selfless and take up the cross. You're going to get persecuted. And follow me. We have to put others before ourselves. Amen. That's the God kind of love. And you say, why? Why that? Because God has put us before him. God is selfless, all concerned about you and I. And he's concerned about every one of our needs. He's concerned about every one of our circumstances, every one of our situations. And he will move mountains to get to us to help us out. So in this season, yes, in this hour, God is calling for the release of his agape. Back into the body of Christ. And the way he does it, he has to love on us individually. He requires nothing but a will to be loved by him. And if we're willing, he will begin to love on us with a love that'll blow our minds. And we'll begin to establish relationships. That's a, you know, that's a powerful word in the body of Christ. Relationships. And we need some agape love relationships. Not between our hearts and God's hearts, but between each other hearts. We need to relate with each other as God relate to us unconditionally. Glory to God. But we can't do it unless we be still and open our hearts and let God love on us. I mean, flood water, overflow, and love on us with his unconditional love. And glory to God. One song asked the question, I want to know what love is. I tell you what, if we open our hearts to God, when we open our hearts to God, and he began to open up the floodgates of love and pour it into our hearts, we'll know what love is. And you know, Tina say what love got to do with everything. Amen. This is a love walk. This is a love life. This is a love talk. And we have to establish loving relationships in the body of Christ, a loving relationship between believers. You know, a believer can't be scared and say, yeah, I got this fault, but I don't want you to know about it because I don't trust you. Number one, you may leave me. Number two, you may go and spread it all over the world. And the reason we don't open up is because we say, I don't think you love me unconditionally. Glory to God. Loving relationships. It's loving relationships that keep the body of Christ in unity. And that's what we're looking for. Unity in the body of Christ. And the only way we're going to get unity, we can have ceremonies and conferences and prayer meetings and Bible studies, but if the love of God, the agape, is not in there, there will be no unity. We'll be in the same place, but we won't be on one accord. We will not be united as one body. Somebody said one body. So we got to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's going to be a long one. 12 through 31.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feast. I have no need of you. Now, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, then gifts of healing, help, administration, varieties of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
Very good. Give me Jeremiah 29:11.
Jeremiah 29:11, and it reads this way. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Now, as you can see, God has a plan. God has a plan for all believers. And this plan is to operate supernaturally within the body of Christ and accomplish individual and collected assignments. Individual and collected assignments. Within the body of Christ. And we have to just do what Holy Spirit leads us to do. What Holy Spirit leads us to do within the body of Christ. And we can't worry. And we can't focus on what Holy Spirit is leading someone else to do within the body of Christ. In other words, we do what we've been called to do. And Nike stole that from the Bible and say, just do it. When God revealed the plan of who we are, we just do what we are called. And we do it within the body of Christ. You know, I like that scripture that was read, 1 Corinthians 12. You see, it was like if you call to be an eye, then see. And do not say, I can't hear, so I am not beneficial to the body of Christ. No, we do what we call to do. And we keep doing it through the power of the Spirit of God. If you and I, then see and keep seeing. If you're ear, don't say, I can't smell, so I am not beneficial to the body of Christ. No, like Nike say, you just do what you've been called to do and keep doing it. If you're ear, hear. If you're an apostle, lead like an apostle. If you're a prophet, begin to prophesy. If you're an evangelist, get out there and begin to evangelize. If you're a pastor, be the pastor, the best pastor in your city. And if you're a teacher, teach like your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In unity, one body, for to operate in unity. And for the body to operate in unity, everybody got to do their part. And what that means is everybody got to do what they've been called to do. And God will be glorified. And we know that God is love. So love will be glorified. Because the body of Christ will be operating in unity under the power, under the spirit of love, the agape love, the unconditional love, the God kind of love, the love of our God. You know, maybe there's somebody that haven't had a chance to experience a relationship with love. Experience a heart, as Minister Smith said earlier, a heart intimacy with love. I tell you what, it's not a hard thing to do, because love is knocking on your door of your heart. And as I always say, when somebody knocks, they want to come in. And maybe there's somebody that invited love in, but they haven't heard love voice to show them their plan or their position in the body, what their purpose, destiny. And love said, I'm not holding it back from it. I know the plan. And love is the only one that knows the plan. Your pastor don't know the plan. Now, your pastor can confirm the plan. Your leaders can confirm the plan. But only God knows the plan. So, we're going to pray and give opportunities for those who haven't received love into their heart to have that great experience. And then we're going to have the opportunity for love to speak to the hearts of those that are already saved and lead them by the power of the Spirit of God and to their destiny. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Minister Kenita Smith, and she's going to take us to the cross.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is a time that we stop, we drop, and we extend Jesus Christ to those who may not know him in the pardoning of the sin. And we want to take this opportunity to give people an opportunity to become a part of the body of Christ. And so here God is knocking at the door of your heart that you would extend your hand and grab his, that you may come in to the body of Christ. And this is a celebration. This is a time of seriousness that you get right with yourself, that you would accept our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be your Lord and Savior. And we want to do that now. So if you would, brother or sister, humble your heart best as you know how and just come to him as humble as you know how, that you would receive the free gift that he has for you. So my brothers and sisters who may be listening to the broadcast, I encourage you to touch and agree with Brother Harold and I as we lead them to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I encourage you, as I always do, to lift up that one that has been heavy on your heart. Lift them up in prayer that they may have a right to the tree of life through salvation. Lift them up, whomever it may be. But we just encourage you that we partner together, that we can lead them to Jesus Christ. So if you would pray with us and those who may not know Jesus, or you may be questioning your salvation right now, we encourage you to give your heart to Christ, that you would know that you know that you know that you are born again. So if you would, let's pray together. And just repeat after me. But it's my words, but your heart. Lord God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm here ready to receive you. Lord, I need you, and I know I do. You've been speaking to me over these years, and I have not listened to you. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive you. I'm ready to listen to you. I'm ready to walk worthy in your love, Lord God. I believe by faith that you are my Savior. I know that you died on the cross and you bled for my sins. Here I am, Lord. I surrender my life to you. And I ask that you would enter in, for I have nothing to give. Here I am. Lord, I know I love you, and I know I need you. I've said some things that weren't right. I did many of things that I know I should not have done. And Lord, my thoughts, they run from the east to the west. I know I need you. Help me. You said if I confess, Lord, that you would not leave me and you would be with me always. So I trust you, and I believe. Here I am, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I just encourage you, my brother. I encourage you, my sister, that you are welcome into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. and I encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by the submersion of water, and that you would seek out a Bible teaching church, a small group, a Sunday school class, or a discipleship class that would that you could grow and go and lead others to the ark of salvation. So we are just super excited that you have extended or given your heart to Christ, that you have latched on to his unchanging hand. Hallelujah. So, Brother Harold, I tell you, this is a wonderful time for us to come to know Jesus in these closing days of grace. And I thank God for who he is and what he does and how he delivers the love that he does. So, Brother Harold?
Yes, yes. Amen. We'd like to congratulate our brothers and sisters that has entered into the kingdom of the Lord. And we also know that Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts and will reveal the plan, the purpose, the destiny that God has individually. And we know that as you fellowship with the body of believers, that the unity of the body will give a confirmation of the direction God is taking you. And we just want you to know, just hold on. It's going to be good, and it's going to be exciting. You know, we want to take a quick look at the giftings, because Paul emphasized these gifts. And these are the good gifts, what according to the human eye. Let's say it that way, according to the human eye. And what Paul is showing us is if we operate in these gifts without the agape love of God, there's an open door for the enemy to come in with the spirit of pride. And let's look at it. In verse 2, Paul emphasized particular gifts for a reason. Gifts of prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith. Now, most people who have these gifts and who operate in these gifts usually carry a spirit of pride. And we don't say this according to a combination, but we're unity, and we want to help each other. And that's why we are here with brothers and sisters, and we help each other. We need each other. I know there was a song they had out there, say, I need you. I want you. You need me. We're better together. We are the body of Christ. And we need each other because the enemy, we all have something in common. We all got an enemy. And he want to kill all of us, steal from all of us, and destroy all of us. And we have to be our brother's keeper. So when we get these so-called powerful gifts, we're not operating in the agape love. A spirit of pride comes in, and we get deceived, and we think it's all about us. We begin to think that our gifts are the most important gift, most important than all the other gifts in the body. And this is a faulty belief. And because of this faulty belief that's not found anywhere in the Bible, the devil makes us think that we're better than everybody else, that everybody else is lesser. And they develop that I am more important, Spirit. That you need me and the body cannot function without me. And that spirit of pride comes out of the kingdom of darkness. And the reason we have to pray against that, because love covers a multitude of sin. And we love on our brothers and sisters because we need our brothers and sisters. They are part of the body. And if they're apostle, we need them to be an apostle. If they're evangelist, we need them to evangelize. If they're prophet, we need them to prophesy. If they're pastor, we need good pastors. If they're a teacher, we need some teachers. And so through love that covers a multitude of sins, all we have to do is love them back into the kingdom of God. Love that old foul spirit off of them and bring them back into the kingdom with love. And you know, there's a word that God gives us because we can be prideful with our gift. And God said that pride comes before the destruction. Amen. But God loves us too much. And God loves us just as we are. And God accepts us just as we are. We don't have to try to get it together because we can't get it together. We come just as we are to this God, this loving God, to this love. And love will receive us. And love will begin on us with the love that will blow our mind. When we see that love and experience that love, because the woman at the well experienced that love, and she left her water bucket at the well, and she ran to the city to say, come see a man. Come see a man. And as we close tonight, we have seen the man, and because he is the Word of God, he is God, and he is love, and he has loved on us in this hour. But he never stopped loving on us. So as I turn it back over, as you open up your heart today for love to gush in, keep it open. Keep it open. Because he'll continue to love you. And he'll continue to feel you. And he'll give you insight to go find somebody that needs that love. So you can pour it out on them. And he'll feel you again so you can go look for somebody else. This is a love story. And it's got to be told. God is not mad at us. God is not having a bad day. God is not a bad God with a gavel ready to pop aside the head when we mess up. And if we mess up, love picks us up. And love brings us back into his heart. And love let us fit us into his presence. And he restores us. And he sends us back to find somebody to love into his kingdom. And we give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I encourage you, my brothers and sisters and the listeners to this ministry, to meet us again on next week when we continue with this wonderful teaching lesson, The Ingredients of Agape Love. We cannot not hear about love through Scripture and in the way that God wants us to exemplify that. And Jesus showed us the most beautiful way on how to exemplify love. He was love walking on 2 feet. I tell you, it is just a beautiful tapestry that God makes when he shows and uses us and demonstrates love in a wicked world. Always remember, my brothers, that if you have not, and my sisters, if you have not listened to the first half of this wonderful teaching series, The Ingredients of Agape Love, we encourage you to go back and listen to part one of this wonderful teaching series on blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart, Mission from the Heart Radio. And all you have to do is Google that, and it'll bring you to the series. Scroll through the series and refreshing yourself. But we love to bring the Word of God, Brother Harold and I. We love to teach and extend the Word of God. And this is what we do week after week, every Thursday, starting at 8 p.m. So we just encourage you to continue to sit with us, move through the pages of God with us, and most of all, enjoy the Word of God that others would enjoy it with you. So always remember, the grass wither and the flowers, they fade season to season. But the Word of God, it will be with us forever and ever. God bless you, and we will return again.